very gracious introduction. Bereshis Rabbi Maris, Rabbi Katz, I don't know you, but I hope someday to get to know you very soon. And Bereshis Adina, I see you poking in there. If you could, okay, we'll wave to each other. It's really a pleasure to see you and to have you on this program as well. It's an honor to be here with so many members of both of your communities. Although I must say that this assignment has been a very, very challenging, difficult, and I might even add a painful one for me. I had a very close relationship with Rabbi Sacks. I wouldn't say that we were friends. We didn't really talk to one another on a regular basis. We didn't really share personal, intimate aspects of our lives and personalities. But we saw each other a lot. He was in our home in Manhattan when I lived on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. He and Lady Elaine were in our home in Brookline, Massachusetts, and now we live in Teaneck. And he and Lady Elaine were in our home in Teaneck. And I was in their home in St. John's Wood in London more than once. We shared the podium many occasions, mostly under the auspices of Yeshiva University. And a number of years ago, when he was still the chief rabbi, he invited me to come to London to speak at the Chief Rabbi Conference, which was a gathering that took place of all the rabbis in the British Commonwealth about 2-3 weeks before Rosh Hashanah. And so we interacted with one another quite often. And I was absolutely shocked and flabbergasted when I got the news, like all of us did that Motzei Shabbos, that he had passed away. I had no idea. I was totally unprepared. I knew that he was ill, and we were saying Tehillim for him. We were learning for him. But I had no idea how advanced his cancer was. I must say I had no idea that he had battled cancer twice already before. And I'm still reeling. I'm reeling for his loss. It is a great, massive, massive personal loss, as it is a massive communal loss. His contributions to the general world and to human civilizations were extraordinary. His contributions to the Jewish world were extraordinary. He wrote some 25 to 30 books in both general and Jewish subjects, a parish on the Haggadah, from our perspective, a translation and a commentary on the Siddur. He had a chumash that he was assiduously working on that regretfully he was unable to finish. Koren commissioned him, like they did for the Siddur, to come out with a new translation and commentary on the chumash, a one volume that is regretfully not completed. I'm sure all of you are familiar with his several Parsha series books. Just extraordinary, countless articles, speeches. One of the blessings of living when we live is that we have access to him in very, very meaningful ways, that he left behind dozens, if not hundreds of YouTubes of different talks and lectures and presentations that he gave. You can actually see him, let alone those where we only have the audio. And he lives on. He lives on and will live on through his teaching. I must tell you that it's very painful for me to watch. I actually try to avoid watching any videos. I tried once and I had to just shut it down because it was too difficult for me. It was too raw and too painful. He was a philosopher, he was a theologian, and he was a public intellectual of the highest order. What I would like to do tonight is to try to extract from his life lessons that you and me can incorporate. So we're not public intellectuals, we're not brilliant theologians, we're not philosophers. I put myself in that category as well. We're Vayla Pashat Eden, we're trying to do the best that we can. We have some measure of a Jewish background and try to take our Jewish lives seriously and try to be engaged in Talmud Torah to the extent to which we can. Try to do Torah and mitzvahs, try to do chesed. You know, we're with these Vela wonderful Yidden. And I want to talk to you and to me as these Vela wonderful Yidden. So what does Jonathan Sacks mean to me, and what does it mean to you? What do lessons from his life have to do with our life? That's what I want to focus on. I want to bring him down to us. For me to further analyze his brilliance and his greatness, I mean, it's very sweet, but Leikarav ze el ze kol ha-layla, that has nothing to do with me, and that has nothing to do with you. So let's make this, I'm going to try to make this relevant, meaningful, to incorporate into our own lives lessons that I think he embodied that I think we could benefit from. I want to begin by framing my remarks in the context of probably the most famous question that was posed in the context of the holiday of Hanukkah. So Mahalchim b'Hanukkah, we're getting closer. So I want to begin by reflecting on Hanukkah. And I think that we would agree that probably the most foundational, iconic question that was ever asked in the context of the Hanukkah holiday is the question that was posed by the Beis Yosef, by Rabbi Yosef Karo. It's known as the Beis Yosef's Kasha, the Beis Yosef's Kasha. Beis Yosef is a commentary on the Torah. The Torah was written in the 14th century. Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in the 16th century. And he asks in the beginning of Hilchas Chanukah in Siman Tov Reish Ayin, Ve'ikala Medak, famous question, why do we have Chanukah for 8 days if after all there was already enough oil for one day? So in effect, the miracle was only 7 days because one day we already had the oil. So if Chanukah commemorates the miracle of the Pach Shemen, so why do we have 8 days? One day was, we are good to go. We have it already. The additional 7 days is what warrants the holiday. Chanukah should be for 7 days. The Beis Yosef gives three answers. One answer is that originally they knew that they only had one cruse of oil that would last one night. They knew that it would take 8 days for new fresh oil to be procured because the oil was produced in Motza. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have been to Israel. And when you leave the airport and you make your way to Yerushalayim and you start going up when you pass the Latrun and you pass the Tank Museum on the right, and you pass the turnoff to Beit Shemesh, and you start to climb, and then you plateau, and you start going down, you pass Motza. There's Motza Elite, there are two Motzas, and then you begin to see, in the distance, you see the buildings of Har Nof. Took 4 days in the ancient times to get from the Beis HaMikdash to Motza, and it took 4 days to get back. So Motza was the place where they had olives, and Ad HaYom HaZeh, there are olives in Motza. Took 4 days to get there. You squeeze a little bit, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, put it in a package, 4 days to come back. In 8 days, I know I'm going to have oil. So what did they do? They only knew they had enough for one day. So they put in originally, says the Beis Yosef, originally they only put in 1/8. So the first night already, they only poured 1/8 of the cruse of oil that they found into the menorah. And lo and behold, the next day, it was full. So even already the first day, there was a miracle. The second answer is that after they poured the oil into the menorah, the cruse of oil was still full. They emptied it out, they pick it up, and there's still oil. Ergo, immediately, there was a miracle, even right away. Third answer, they poured it in to the oil, to the menorah. It burnt a whole night, and they came back, and they found the menorah full of oil. Nothing burnt down. Akitzer, three different answers to the question why the first night was also a miracle. Many years ago, I saw a sefer called Ner Lameya. Ner Lameya is 100 answers to the Beis Yosef's question, 100 answers. And then a student of mine recently drew my attention to the fact that he found a sefer that has 500 answers to the Beis Yosef's question. So Baruch Hashem, I gave you three. You'll figure out the 497 others, but I'm going to start you off because I want to share with you my all-time high favorite answer to the Beis Yosef's Kasha that I think will actually resonate with us now, acknowledging the fact that I am a couple hundred miles away from you, and if all was well in this world, for all I know, I might even be somewhere near you making this presentation, and we might actually be in one room and being together with one another listening to this presentation. I think it resonates deeply as it has with me, and particularly also in the context of the appreciation of the life of Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. My answer is that it's not even a question. You know, sometimes when you ask a question, the question is a good question, and then I'll give you an answer. Sometimes the question turns out, milechatchila bichlal, not even to be a question. The whole question to me makes no sense whatsoever. What's the assumption of the question? I mean, after all, that was enough to last for one day. That's not a miracle. That oil burns. That's not a miracle. You know what the miracle was? The additional 7 days. No. Wrong. Not true. Wrong assumption. The fact that oil burns, that's not a miracle. But if you put a wick into water and you lit the wick, nothing would happen. You put it into other liquids, nothing would happen. Just because nature is such that oil burns, that doesn't mean that it's not a miracle. What is nature? Nature is a miracle that repeats itself all the time. What do we say every morning in davening? Hamachadesh betuvo, b'chol yom tamid, ma'aseh bereishis. Tomorrow morning, Emet Hashem, the sun is going to rise. So that's not a big deal? That's not a big deal? Because the sun rises every day? Every single day, machadesh betuvo, b'chol yom tamid. Do you know what Chanukah is really all about? You know why we light the first candle? You know why we have 8 days? To appreciate and not take for granted the blessings that we do have. We have nature. Ah, so it's push it. It's obvious it's going to burn. No, it's not. No, it's not. What a gift. What an incredible gift that oil burns. It's unbelievable. We thought that we could walk in the street. We thought that we can go to the store. We thought that we can go to shul. And that was like Aleph Beis. It's obvious. What do you mean you can't go to shul? What do you mean you can't go to a store? What do you mean you can't hug your grandchildren? What are you talking about? What kind of mishigas? It's insanity. It's insanity. Of course you could do that. And you know what? It's not so pushy. We can't go to shul. Certainly not the way we used to. We can't maybe barely go into a store. We can't hug our grandchildren. We can't have our parents over to our house. We can't visit our siblings. We have bar mitzvahs and chasanis and levias, and we're all alone. So now we appreciate. Oh, we appreciate what we took for granted. We took it for granted. We just assumed the sun is going to rise every morning. Of course, we can go to shul. Of course, we can get together at a simcha and have a full complement for a chasana and nebuch for a levaya. Of course. In my entire lifetime, I never experienced this. Of course, I could never imagine. Chanukah says, you know what? Appreciate what you have. Because you know what? You may not always have it. You may not always have it. And do we not appreciate now what we took for granted? Do we not appreciate what we took for granted? Could you imagine what it's going to be like when we can come back? When COVID first hit, I did not walk out of my door for 10 weeks. Mamish. My children went shopping for me. They did everything for us. I didn't go to shul. I didn't go to minyan. And then I decided, I heard there was a minyan around the corner outside in the backyard. So on Friday morning, I went to the minyan and I didn't even go into the backyard. I was in front of the hedges on the street. And the first time I heard Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba, I started to sob. I started to sob. Never in my life would I have imagined that I would cry when I hear Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba. What do you mean? What do you mean? Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba? It's 15 times a day? No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not. Oil burns. It's a huge deal. Going to shul is a huge deal. Hugging children and parents and having a simcha, huge deal. Never take anything for granted. Say, mamish, you say this, take a lesson when it comes to Hanukkah. I always appreciated this Dvar Torah, never did I appreciate it as much as I do now. And that it applies to the wonderful individual in whose memory we gather this evening. You know, I took him for granted. We're roughly the same age. He's a couple of years older than me. You know, we're friends. We see each other. I'd call him on occasion. He would call me. You know, like he's a guy. He's, you know, he's part of the chabura. And all of a sudden, he's gone. Mamish keherifayin. You think of the last. You think relationships will last. You think the situation in the world will last. You think nature will last. So I think my first takeaway for you and for me is, let's appreciate what we have. Let's, mamish, appreciate what we have. If you're blessed to live in a house where you have a spouse, appreciate your spouse. If you're blessed to live in a house where you have children, appreciate your children. Appreciate what you have. Appreciate your communities. Appreciate your rabbis. I know Rabbi Morris very well and Rebbetzin Morris, extraordinary leaders of your community. Rabbi Morris mentioned that we get together every once in a while for Yarchei Kala. I think that he may think that he comes to learn from me and maybe from some others. But I'll tell you that some of the others come because they want to learn from him. He has an extraordinary reputation, national reputation for wisdom and for learning. And Rebbetzin Morris is extraordinary. There's something called a Rebbetzin's Yarchei Kala and a Rebbetzin's WhatsApp. She is all over it all the time with great diligence and extraordinary wisdom. Now, I'm not privy to that because I'm not allowed to go on. But my wife, every once in a while, tells me, oh my God, Adina is like rocking. And you have them. You have them, Rabbi Katz, and Mirza Hashem, someday I will be able with full certitude to say the same about you and the leadership that you provide for your community. Don't take anything for granted. Appreciate the brachas that we have. So that's number one. Rabbi Sachs's passing strengthened me to appreciate the brachas that I do have. And if you have a friend, and if you have someone for whom you have respect, now's the time to pick up the phone and call them and tell them. Thank them. Thank them. Now's the time. Don't wait till you see them in shul. Don't wait till you're going to go to a simcha together. Don't wait till the next family outing. Pick up the phone and say, thank you. I appreciate you. Take nothing for granted. That's number one. Lesson number two from Rabbi Sachs. The difference that one person can make. He's one guy, one person. And the difference that he made was jaw-droppingly unbelievable. I just rattled off before 25, 30 books, Perushim on this, Perushim on that. He represented the Jewish community, Rabbi Morris mentioned, to kings and to ministers and to princes. He was the spokesperson for Israel and for Jewish values in the world. He wrote articles in the local London newspapers. One guy. And so I ask myself, what difference can I really make? I'm one guy. All of us ask that question. I'm not going to write I'm not going to write articles in the Daily Mail and in the Telegraph and in the Times and the Evening Standard. I'm not going to write them. I'm not going to get the Templeton Prize given to the most incredible genius in the world. I'm not going to get that. But you know what? We could learn from him. Every person, Ba'asher Hein Shem, can make a difference. It may not be the kind of difference that he made. Not just it may not be, it's not going to be the kind of difference that he made, but it's going to be a really significant difference. Don't underestimate the koyach, the power, the difference that you could make. Though the Gemara says, Chazal tell us that Rebbe was mechayev ashirim, and Hillel was mechayev aniyim, that the way Rebbe behaved was a model for how wealthy people have to behave, and the way Hillel behaved was a model for the way poor people have to behave. There's a role model for each category. And the category for me and you that I want to focus on this evening is Rabbi Sacks. What a difference one person could make. And you just think about it. I'm sure you've read appreciations about him, one after another after another. One Yalud Isha, one guy with two hands and two feet and one head, one guy. And look at the difference. You and I can make a difference. Think about it. Look at your lives. So what needs work in your family, in your community, in your workspace? Who needs a call? Who's hurting? Who needs a call? Who needs a chesed? If you are able to go to a store, who do you need to call who's not able to go to a store? What can you do? And I don't know anything, but I know a lot. And one of the things I know is you can make a big difference. That's number two. Number three, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks was what I'm going to call a mevakesh. You know, maybe by now you know, that he was not raised in a thickly Jewish household. His parents were Jewish. His parents were vile, sweet Jews, very simple Jews, wonderful Jews, simple Jews, and did not raise him with a thick Jewish background. And he went off to study philosophy in Cambridge. And that's what he was going to do. He was going to become a continental philosopher. And then at the age of 20 or 21, which I'm going to say now was quite young, episat gitzit ba'em, something is going on, it's not enough. He's in Cambridge, you know, it's the tip of the spitz of British aristocracy, intellectual aristocracy. He's destined for greatness as a philosopher and a professor of philosophy. No. Epis gnaws at him. He picks himself up as a kid and he goes across the Atlantic. He comes to the United States. He knocks on the door of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He knocks on the door of Dr. Norman Lamb. I heard him say this more than once. And both of them inspired him to think about, you know, Judaism really matters. Judaism matters. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, he told me, said to him, first, he asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe, how can philosophy or general philosophy be brought together in sync with Jewish philosophy? And they have this conversation for about 15 minutes, and the Rebbe is toe-to-toe. And then the Rebbe says, you go to Cambridge, right? Are there Jews in Cambridge? Yeah, the Jews in Cambridge. What kind of Jews are they? You know, it's a mix. You know, some more, some less. So what are you doing about the Jews in Cambridge? What are you doing about the Jews in Cambridge? Well, I don't know. It really never occurred to me. You know, I'm here to study philosophy. No, but what, I mean, what are you doing about the Jews in Cambridge? What are you doing about the Jews in Cambridge? And all of a sudden it dawned on Rabbi Sacks, you know what? Maybe I ought to be doing something about the Jews in Cambridge. And he goes to Dr. Lamb, and Dr. Lamb inspires him. Rabbi Sacks said, a leader creates followers. A great leader creates other leaders. I'm going to say it again. A leader creates followers. That makes sense. A great leader creates other leaders. And he was searching for something, and he was searching for something his whole life. He was never satisfied. Why did he write a book a year? Why did he write a book a year? Because he had a new idea. He had something he wanted to share. And last year's book wasn't going to cut it. I want to share with you a Rashi that I came across a while ago. It's a shtickle brazen maybe for me, but I have a new pshat in a Rashi that I think is relevant, and I hope you'll be meichel me. The pasuk says when it comes to Yisro, in Parshas Yisro, Ato yodati ki gadol Hashem mikol ha'elokim. So Yisro is involved with Moshe, and he... Vayishma Yisrael's kol asher asa Hashem. He heard everything that was going on. He wants to reconnect with his daughters, and he wants to reconnect with his son-in-law, and he shows up in the Jewish camp, and he has all kinds of suggestions. Vayomer Yisrael, Baruch Hashem asher hitzel aschem miyad Mitzrayim. Wow, it's great that God saved you. Ato yodati, ato with an I, and now I know that God is the greatest one of all the kings. Zot Rashi quotes a Mechilta. What do you mean? Now I know that God is the greatest king. Melamed, Shehaya makir b'chol avodazora sheba'olam. Shelo hiniach avodazora shelo avdo. Yisro knew every avodazora in the world. When Yisro says, now I know that God is the greatest king, he comes to that from knowledge, because he knew every other deity in the entire world. He speaks from a position of knowledge. I know them all. And now I know that God is the greatest. So I used to think, Nebuch, what an oisvarf. What an, every single Avodah Zarah in the whole world, what's wrong with him? Well, one Avodah Zarah wasn't enough for him. He has to go to every single Avodah Zarah. And then I realized, you know what? That's amazing. That was his world. He lived in a world of Avodah Zarah. But he wasn't happy. He was a Mavakesh. He kept on going until he found the right one. And at the end, he didn't find any of them. He found God. For me, Yisro gets a Kishin Piskel. I'm going to give Yisro Mafter Yoyne if I ever saw him. Because he cared. He wasn't complacent. He wasn't satisfied with what he achieved. But he was always looking, something else, something else. Yes, for him, it was Avodah Zarah. He didn't know anything else. Until he bumped into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Malchei Hamlochim. Then all of a sudden, oh my God, he realized this is it. There's nothing greater than this. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks was a Mevakesh. And here I'm talking to you and to me. Are we satisfied? Are we complacent? Rabbi, don't bother me. Someday when I retire, I'll have more time. You know, now I got a portfolio. Now I got a this, a that. I'm busy. You need to be a mevakesh. We need to grow. We need to grow in our general knowledge. We should read literature. We should read books. We should listen to podcasts. We should grow in our Jewish knowledge. Be a mevakesh. We have one bite at this apple of life, one bite. And don't just sit back and say, you know what, I am what I am, shanginik, lazmer up, I'm fine. Do something, exercise your intellect, exercise your emotion. Be a mavakish, be curious, and deepen your knowledge. Number four. This was controversial about Rabbi Sacks. Rabbi Sacks taught us that the outside world really matters. It really matters. You see, you and I, Baruch Hashem, are living in an America in the first part of the 21st century. Where Baruch Hashem, if I could, I would say B'Shemu Malchus, Shechiyanu V'Kiyamanu V'Giyanu L'Zman Hazeh. We're living at a time when Mamish, Baruch Hashem, Orthodoxy, Baruch Hashem, we're doing well. And we have multiple shuls. and multiple restaurants, and we have multiple opportunities, and their day schools. I don't know exactly how many shuls you have in your community, but there are at least two. I mean, I'm talking to two. Got to be more, and there got to be day schools, and there's got to be a mikveh, and it's got to be a nice mikveh, and there's got to be a restaurant. I sure hope there's a restaurant. By me and Tinek, we have 24 restaurants and 17 shuls. This is BC. We used to say BC meant something else, and Heinz BC means before Corona. Baruch Hashem, it's unbelievable. Do you know that in the 50s, Orthodoxy was hanging by a chatzi hair in the United States? We were done. We were over. And Baruch Hashem, we're doing well. And so we are lulled into complacency to think that we could ganz fine exist. Michael, the world, who needs the world? I don't need the world. I have my dollar. I'm great. I'm fine where I am. Everything I need is right here. Bad mistake. Jonathan Sacks taught us that the world matters. Jonathan Sacks told me that when he became chief rabbi, after a while he realized that Britain doesn't really need a chief rabbi. His Jews don't need a chief rabbi. They don't need a chief rabbi. They have rabbis in each of their shuls. They have a London Beis Din to paskin all the serious shilas. What do they need a chief rabbi for? Vos leikt er zu, what is he a value added? So he decided, I don't need to be the chief rabbi for the Jews. I need to be the chief rabbi for the goyim. That's what I need to do. And he consciously changed in his mind. And he devoted from then on a huge amount of his energy to be chief rabbi for the goyim, to take public positions on issues of Israel, on issues of anti-Semitism. And he spoke to princes and to kings and to queens, traveled the world, spoke to theologians, debated atheists, did write repeatedly articles in the Daily Mail and the Telegraph and the Times and the Evening Standard, was on the BBC every Montag and Donnerstag, every Monday and Thursday. Because you know what? We need to get our message out to the world at large. We cannot just be insular. We cannot just focus on ourselves. Of course we have to. It may not ely-meely. But the world matters. And the world needs to hear from us. The world needs to hear the values, the core values of Judaism that can enlighten a crazy, dark world. And that's our achrayus also. That's a message from Jonathan Sacks. The message is, you know what? The world matters. Now, you and I, as I said before, we're not writing for the Telegraph and the Daily Mail, and we're not talking to Queen Elizabeth, and we're not the buddy-buddy with Prince Charles. We're not, and we're not going to go sit in some major university and debate an atheist. But we can, each one of us, in our own private and humble way, can ask ourselves, what can I do to bring the message of Judaism, which after all I believe is rock solid and has what to say? What can I do to bring this to the world? So do I have a neighbor? Do I have a business associate? Do I have a cleaning lady? I don't know what the term is. Do I have somebody in the supermarket checkout? What am I doing proactively in my modest, humble way to demonstrate that the world matters? I have an achrayus, you and me, each one of us. We have an achrayus to take what we know is mamish, incredible values, and share it and expose it to a disturbed, challenged, complicated world. We're living in very difficult times. The moral relativism is rampant. Rampant. It's hard to believe. I don't know. I tell my children all the time. I cannot imagine how one can raise Erlicha Vayla Yiddish Shekinder in today's wacko, crazy world. every kid has a this, and you go like this, and before you know it, you God knows where you are. If you don't have this, it's a bazillion. It's mamish a bazillion. The kid won't go to school because the kid's embarrassed. Every kid has this. You know what this is? This is a recipe potentially for disaster, and I'm not a prude. How do you raise pious children? When I raised my children, my wife and I, it was much easier. The world needs our values, and you could do it, each one of you. Figure out a way how to do it. Next. Jonathan Sacks taught us to be diligent and to be disciplined. To be disciplined. So how many times do we wake up in the morning and, you have to walk the dog and you have to go out and get the newspaper and then you bring in the newspaper, then you have to open up the newspaper and then you have to have a cup of coffee and then you have to drink the cup of coffee and then you have to, take out the garbage and then you sit down and then you sharpen your pencil and be megitzah hadre, you come home from work, you sit down, you relax on the easy chair, you watch television. Before you know it, we're done. That's it. Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos finished. It's already Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. What happened to Yom Rishon B'Shabbos? What happened to Yom Shlishi B'Shabbos? Gone, done. I'm asking you. I'm actually going to say something. I'm begging you. Be disciplined. Be disciplined. What do you want to do today? And do it. Sit down on your Hinton and do it. Do it. What do we do? Be disciplined. You know how you write a book a year? You write a book a year when you sit on your Hinton and you do it. That's how you write a book a year. Now, you and I are not going to write a book a year. But there are things that we want to do. And this leads to this and this to that and that and her, the who and on the phone and then hand and then the news. And before you know it, that's it. Be disciplined. Be disciplined. Wake up in the morning and accomplish something. What do we say in the morning when we wake up? First thing in the morning, I've never said this with as much kavana ever as I say it since Corona. Moda ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayam. Shechazarta binish masi b'chemla. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Thank you, God. I express my gratitude to you. Melech chai v'kayam, the great, wonderful, eternal God. Shechazarta binish masi b'chemla. With mercy, you gave me back my neshama. My nefesh, Rabba Emuna Secha, great is your faith. So my father, Zichrono Levracha, said, what do you mean great is your faith? You know what I should have said? What should I say? What should I say when I say Moda Ani? Rabba Emuna Si, my faith is great. God, thank you. Thank you so much. You've given me back my soul. My faith in you is now just catapulted. What do you mean, Rabbi Emuna Secha? What, God has faith? You hear the kasha? It's a good kasha. I wish I could see all of you shaking your head. It's an Eisen kasha. What do you mean, Emuna Secha? What, God, faith? God needs faith. God has faith. So my father said something beautiful. It's worth coming on this Zoom just for this vote. He said, you know what we say every morning? Modani lefanecha melechai v'kayim. Thank you. You gave me back my neshama. You know why you gave me back my neshama? Because Rabba Emuna Secha, because you have great faith in me. You said when you gave me back my neshama this morning, you know what? I think I'm going to give JJ back his neshama because I have faith that he's going to have a meaningful day. He's going to do something with it. He's going to take the day, the gift that I'm giving him by giving him back his neshama today. And he's going to spend it wisely. He's going to do something with it. Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. Because you have faith in me. How am I going to accomplish what it is that Hashem has faith in me to accomplish? And me and you and you and you and you and you and you. Each one of the me's who are gathered here. If we're disciplined. If we just futz away the day and just somehow merge this into that. You know what? God could have kept a neshama. He didn't have to bring it down to this world. Michael, what a waste of time. Well, what did I do? Why? Why did God give me back my neshama? Should have kept it. Should have kept it. I'm dead anyway. I'm not doing anything. What am I doing? Why am I living? because God has faith in me that I could do something. Discipline. Get up in the morning. Okay, what am I doing today? Or before you go to sleep at night, what do I want to accomplish tomorrow? And I don't mean I'm going to learn, we're starting Psachim now in Daf Yomi. I'm going to knock off 10 Bladim Psachim. I'm going to now bake 19 Challahs L'Kavod Shabbos. That's not what I mean. I mean something reasonable, something accessible. Something? Every day, something? Justify your existence? It's not hard. Think about it. And the way to do it is to be disciplined. Next, I have two more. I'm taking a lot longer, Rabbi Morris, than I thought I would. I hope I'm not presuming on the patience of your extraordinary community. I can barely see anybody, so I don't know if they're turned off or if they're snoring. So, yichshis, I'm going. I have two more.
The worst thing about the Yachdei Kala is when you're not speaking. I can listen to you 24/7, so keep on going.
Okay, fine. Thank you. So I got two more. Rabbi Sacks was a Baal Chesed. Now, you don't know that. Now, you know, the average person who listens to his YouTubes and watches his videos and reads his books doesn't know that he's a Baal Chesed. I would venture to say that members of a shul have no idea how great their rabbis and rebbetzins are Baalei Chesed. And you're blessed with Baalei Chesed, not just with wisdom and a public persona, but Baalei Chesed. Because the community doesn't know the chassadim that the rabbi and the rebbetzin do. Only an individual knows. And if that individual wants to share it with some close friend, it's up to them. But sometimes even they don't want to share it because they're embarrassed. Because it's a little bit awkward. I don't know if members of shuls have an idea, have the beginning of an idea of how much chesed the rabbi and the rebbetzin does. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks was a Baal Chesed. And I want to share with you one story that I know of that just relatively recently happened. I have a friend who was dying of cancer. It was really very bad, very bad. He loved Jonathan Sacks. He read him. He listened to him. He never spoke to him in his life, but he used to call him my friend Jonathan, you know, like he's buddy, my friend Jonathan. He's mamish nebuchacholim esukim. His children knew how much respect he had for Jonathan Sacks. They got this harebrained idea that he should have a conversation with Jonathan Sacks. So they reached out to me and they asked me if I could set it up. Could I call Rabbi Sacks and ask Rabbi Sacks to please call their father? This is in January, to please call their father, because it would really be meaningful for their father to have a conversation with Jonathan Sacks. You know, there's something in our culture called the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So, you know, somebody who's nebuch very ill, so there's some kind of a wish. Normally with kids, they go to a ball game or they meet a very famous sports star. They wanted to make a wish their father should talk to Jonathan Sacks. I said I would try to do what I can. I picked up the phone. I called Joanna Ben-Arosh, who is his chief of staff. I said, Joanna, here's the story. I have this couple, this family. He's very sick. The kids had the idea that maybe if the chief rabbi would speak to him, it would be helpful. Send me an email. I send her an email. 2 days go by. I don't hear anything. Reach out again. Ayvei, the email got stuck in spam. Let me see what I could do. At 8:47 in the morning, on Tuesday morning, January 14, she emails the family. It says, Rabbi Sacks is going to call you at 1 o'clock this afternoon. Tuesday, January 14, 2020. Did Rabbi Sacks know who this person was? No. Did Rabbi Sacks, was he sitting around smoking a cigar, staring out the window? No. He had what to do. He was a busy guy. He never heard of this guy from Adam. JJ called and said, maybe do a mitzvah. Okay, I'll do a mitzvah. So at 1 o'clock, the phone rings. And a whole morning, a house that was tense with illness, a Gevorin Shashtil, the chief rabbi, is going to call. Phone rings. Hi, it's Jonathan Sacks. He speaks to the very ill man. The connection goes dead. He calls back again. John, hi, it's Jonathan. I'm sorry. I got cut off. I don't know what happened. A second time, He gets cut off. A second time he calls back. 15 minutes he's on the phone. He was mamish kima'at machaya mason to this guy. And that was the last conversation that he ever had. A few hours later, he went into a coma and that was it. He died a few days later. To me, it was unbelievable. It was almost as if now that I spoke to Jonathan Sacks, now I could already go to meet my maker. That's it. I'm done. There's nothing more that I could do in this world. But the chiddush is that Jonathan Sacks picked up the phone and called him. And called him a second time. And called him a third time. You would not have known about this if I hadn't told you. It's unbelievable. You know what? What's my takeaway? Be a Baal Chesed. I don't know about you, but I'm less busy. I mean, I try to be disciplined and do whatever I can, but I don't know. Maybe I'm not less busy, but we're less busy. We're not busy writing books. I must tell you that there were times when I was upset because I would call him up and I want to talk to him. And Joanna says, I'm sorry, you can't talk to the chief rabbi. Why not? He's writing a book. He's writing a book. For a month, he's not taking any calls. You hear such a thing? You hear such a thing? For the next month, he's not taking any calls? I said, but it's JJ. I'm sorry. Yehorek Valyavra is not taking calls. He's writing a book. He's writing a book. And he called this guy because he's a Baal Chesed. We're not so busy. We're not writing a book. Are we Baal Chesed? Are we enough Baal Chesed? So you'll say, what difference can I make? You can make a huge difference. A huge difference. Be a Baal Chesed, especially now in the wacky challenges that we're facing. Wacky challenges. Sit down and think, how can I do a chet tomorrow? Rabbo Emuna Secha, God, you have faith in me. What chesed am I going to do? Jonathan Sacks was about, he could be a Baal Chesed. He could take the time, 15 minutes, twice, three times he called him. Once, and then a second time, and a third time. You know what? I could call somebody. I can call somebody. I could do something. I can help somebody. And my last takeaway is Rabbi Jonathan Sacks as a father. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks as a father. So I tell my Talmidim all the time, and I'm sure Rabbi Morris heard this way more than once from me over the years. Never, ever, my sweetest and beloved rabbis, never, ever slaughter your children on the altar of the Jewish community. Your children have one father. Your children have one mother. They did not ask to be brought into this world. You brought them into this world. You have an achrayus to them. And it's not only rabbis and rebbetzins. It's doctors and lawyers and business people. Every one of us. Every one of us, even if we're retired. Don't slaughter your children. And now, Chalchen in the parsha of Einiklach, your grandchildren. Be attentive, be engaged, and focus on that. I don't know if you heard, and if you didn't, you must. When I'm done, get off the Zoom and go to two things. Number one, to the Levaya. I don't know if you saw his Levaya. You know how crazy it was? There were like 30 people at his Levaya. It was at graveside. It wasn't like in St. John's Wood. It wasn't in Marble Arch Synagogue with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of seats being piped outside to thousands of people on the street. There were 30 people around. And there were a couple of speeches. And the last speech was his daughter, Gila. You have to listen to it. Listen to the way a daughter speaks about a father. How I was sitting there, my jaw was dropping. He was a busy guy. He's a busy guy. He's running all over the place, writing for a week, for a month. You can't talk to him. Can't talk to him. That's it. He's in. He's deep. His kid spoke with such affection and warmth about him. I'm wondering, La'acha Me'ev Esrim, what are my kids going to say about me? That's what I'm wondering. What are our kids going to say about us? He inspired such warmth, not just affection, not just respect, affection. From this daughter who was representing, he had three children. She was the youngest. She represented the other two, the older two. It was jaw-dropping, the love and the affection. And when you're done with the Levaya, go Google Rabbi Jonathan Sacks Templeton Prize. The Templeton Prize I mentioned earlier was given every year by a non-Jewish organization, institution, to the most brilliant human being that they feel has contributed to religion in the world. And it comes with the Zeltman Children with over $1 million prize. It's not just the COVID, but Melaitis Arayin in the bank account. Over $1 million comes with this award. There's a whole tekes, there's a whole ritual. It's all online. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks Templeton Prize. And this one speaks, and this one speaks. Then after all the speeches, the MC gets up and says, we have one speech that was not in the program that's a surprise for Rabbi Sacks. Gila Sacks walks up and delivers 5 minutes. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what a child learned from a parent. And if Rabbi Sacks's children can speak with such warmth and affection about him, what are we doing to make sure that our kids and our grandkids feel, and Amir Hashem at some point in a long time from now, will speak about us? It's really a mechayev to us. What can we do now to so order the way we live, to deep, deep, deep engage in our kids? Deep engage in our kids. You know what happens? We're so busy. You know, we have so much work to do, and when I come home from work, I'm so tired, and I kick off my shoes, I put on my slippers, I sit in the easy chair. What's wrong with you? You have children. It's the biggest bracha. If you have children, it is the biggest bracha. The biggest bracha. Rabbi Sacks taught us the power of what it means to be a father, to be a parent. And so in summary, number one, don't take anything for granted. The answer to the Beis Yosef's kasha, which to me is the most profound, is that it's not even a question. The whole question is a silly question. What, because is enough to last for one day that doesn't require a night of Hanukkah? That's also a miracle. Because it happens all the time, that means it's not a miracle? You and I know well for the last number of months. That's not true. Don't take people who you love and who you have respect for granted. Tell them you love them. Tell them they mean something to you. Tell them you can't live without them. Tell them how much respect you have for them. Thank them. Thank them. Don't wait, because you never know. Number two, the difference one person could make. You can make a difference. Wherever we are, we can make a difference. Number three, be a mevakesh. Don't be complacent. Go out there and make a difference, and go out there and grow. Why should you be just a clod for your whole life? This is it. Hashem gave us one life. Maximize it. Number four, the outside world matters. So you're not going to be the chief rabbi for the goyim, but you can be an orla goyim. You can teach Gentiles about what Judaism is and represents. Number five, be disciplined. Don't just while away your time. Rabo Amuna Secha, God has faith in us for a reason, because we could do something about it. Number six, be a Baal Chesed. Be a Baal Chesed. Pick up the phone, call somebody. Yeah, you're busy. I know you're busy. Okay, I'm also busy. He was also busy. And finally, be a parent and be a grandparent. Invest tief, tire in your family, in your children, in your grandchildren. Rabbi Sacks's passing leaves a monumental void in the Jewish community. And the best thing I think that we could do is to try to extrapolate from his life various lessons that we can try on in a way that is meaningful for us. and to make it something very, very special. I know his mother's name. I don't know his father's name. I know his mother's name from all the Misha Beirachs. Harav Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Liba, Rabbi Jonathan Sachs, Harav Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Liba, Teinish Maso, Tzurur B'Tzurur HaChayim, may his soul be bound up in the bond of eternal life. Bila Hamoves, Lanetzach, his teachings will live on, and we will all have been the beneficiaries of having had the opportunity to know him and to learn from him. I thank all of you for joining. If there are any questions, Rabbi Morris, or any comments, you said that you would monitor them. I'm happy to take another few moments.
I'll just ask one question, and then I'll just turn it over to Rabbi Cassis to close out. One question is, you know, you mentioned the void that Rabbi Sachs is no longer with us. From a historical perspective and from just the current reality, was Rabbi Sachs a product of being a chief rabbi in Great Britain, that he was therefore able to have the influence that he had? And could there be a similar type of individual to have the same influence in a country like the United States, where there isn't that position of a chief rabbi? And I guess I'll just add on, you as a teacher at Yeshiva University who are working with high caliber students, do you see within your students, within your colleagues, another person or other individuals who can fill that void?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I think it's easier in the British Commonwealth, where there is an official title called the chief rabbi. When the chief rabbi gets elected, he is invited for an audience with the Queen in Buckingham Palace. Rabbi Mervis, the current chief rabbi, also was invited by the Queen to Buckingham Palace, and becomes, as a result, I don't know if it's friendly is a word, but certainly known to the royal family, and therefore is already has a running head start to be in a position to be more of a public figure to the general world, which we do not have in the United States. So I think it's easier. I think the reason why he was able to command the kind of presence that he did was not because he happened to have been the chief rabbi, but because he happened to be who he was, and he spoke with great dignity and eloquence. And, you know, one good speech begets another one. So when you have a great presentation and people hear it, so other people invite you, and then the radio invites you, and then the BBC invites you, and then the newspapers invite you, and one leads off the other. And he became an even greater international figure in the non-Jewish world after he stopped being the chief rabbi. Then he was really more fully engaged and was freer to be able to do that. You're right. In the United States, we don't have that kind of structure. And no, I don't know of anyone here in our country who fulfills that role. And I don't know anyone down the road who is going to be able to fulfill that role. But my point is, you and I are not going to fulfill that role, but we can fulfill a role. And that's really what's important. I don't want to shift the spotlight from us. I want to keep it on us. We can make a difference, each in our own way.
Thank you so much,
Rabbi Katz.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Schachter. It is we are more than grateful for the pleasure of listening to you for much more than you had allotted for us. And we are more than willing to keep going, but I'm sure that maybe you have somewhere to go.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem, the night is young.
Baruch Hashem. But one thing that I would like to say, just in terms of, you know, who Rabbi Sachs was for all of us and what he represented in terms of being embraceful of the general world and making sure that it's represented in the way that we all try to live in the same value system. One of the things that Rabbi Sachs, for me, and I think for many of us, did was contextualize current Jewish dilemmas, current Jewish living within a broader philosophy and within a broader historical context. And I thank you for doing much of the same way of giving us greater context of who he was, because we read the article, we read the book, we read the Dvar Torah, and we don't see the greater picture. And from an insider's view, it's wonderful to have the opportunity to hear from you all these lessons that are obviously very relatable, but also give us a greater context and a greater picture of who he was. So
thank you
for everything that you do generally in contextualizing the Jewish people. and hopefully when we read the next Rabbi Sacks Dvar Torah, we won't only think of you, but we'll also ask for who the first Rabbi Sacks was.
Thank you. Very grateful. I really appreciate it. And I wish all of you well. And I wish you a good night and stay safe and stay happy. And Rabba Emuna Secha. Remember, God has faith in us. Let's merit and deserve that faith. Be well and have a good night.
Thank you, Hashem. Thank you, Rabbi Katz.
Afreilichem Chanukah.